Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is the last episode with Alex. Hello, Alex. How are you?
Hi, Sammy.
Well, thanks so much for spending time for this podcast. It's been a great learning for me to know your personal story and your passion about your current ministry. Now, today, as the last episode, I want to hear more about your future visions for Asian Americans.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Excited to listen to your thoughts. Number one question is, what are the potentials for next generation Asian Americans to advance God's kingdom?
I like this question. I really like this question. You know, roughly 2/3 of the world's population come from Asia. Okay? Wow. It makes up some of that 1040 window. So when I think about the next generation Asian Americans to advance the gospel, and I hear that those kinds of numbers, I am like, wow. We're talking about unreached and unengaged people groups back in their native lands where they came from. So the next next generation of Asian Americans have connections and access to people that I may not ever be able to have, you know? And that provides them with a rich opportunity to reach people in places that the rest of us might not have. And so through their God-given ethnicity, I just feel like, and their identity, their circle of influence is so beyond what's right here, just in our area. And I think that their stories go well beyond our borders and can be shared well beyond our borders. And given the age in that we live in, with the accessibility of travel, and them having the opportunity possibly to go visit their land that they were from, share their life with them, share the gospel. When you look at the age that we live in, the age of information, the accessibility of information, to make connections with someone and stay connected, even if they come back to the United States through the power of internet, the potential to advance the gospel proclamation through specifically that generation is powerful. If they stop to think about it, it's powerful.
Well, that's exciting to hear that. But what can keep that next generation from living that potential?
I suspect that as someone who was raised here, came at a very small age, and so sometimes I sit on both sides of the fence. Sometimes I consider myself Hispanic, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, 100% American, you know. I've lived in this country for over 50 years, not giving away my age exactly, but 50 years. So I suspect that like me, you can sometimes suffer with some identity issues, you know. Am I even Asian? For my case, am I even Hispanic? I've lived here how many years? Do I even know that country? I'm a foreigner there now. You know, where do I belong? And so I think some of the things that might keep them, first, just even as when you're young, is an identity. They may not see their value and their potential for what that really means to be a second generation Asian. And so I think that they need discipleship and equipping in their homes, in their local churches, to develop them as strong leaders so that they can see just the potential that they have to be able to have that kind of an impact. So just tackling some of those identity and then, you know, without discipleship and equipping them, then, you know, that needs to be in place so they can have a strong relationship with Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to ignite that in them.
We minister to both first and second generation pastors and leaders. Now, how do you think that first generation help the next generation to grow as spiritual leaders?
Mm-hmm. So I think just like everything else, obviously investing time in relationships, you know, asking questions from the first generation to the second generation, asking questions, looking for common ground to form a foundation for their relationship. They already have a lot in common. You know, the ethnicity, the language, the culture that they know that they're from. So commonalities are already going to be in place. I think encouraging really the first generation, that's my opinion, okay? Encouraging them first. The first generation encourages the second generation. You equip them through discipleship and you challenge them. You challenge them to have an impact for the kingdom. However, I know that that's not easy. You know, there's a generation gap. It's real in all cultures. And you add that challenge, like I said earlier, about the identity when you're raised as a minority. And so, yeah, God is powerful. As a first generation myself, I think that I'm the one that needs to reach to that second generation, to the next generation, and meeting them where they are. As a mature Christian, I think the mature Christians are called upon to lay down whatever ideas I have that are not related to Christ, that are not related to the gospel, that maybe are related to my heritage. We carry a lot of that with us. And that way, we can meet the second generation right where they're at, rather than muddy the waters with, oh, well, but, you know, I felt like that was the case for me. But, oh, well, you know, in the country where we're from, we did this. Well, which part of that is gospel-centered? And so, I think that the first generation reaches to them, tries to meet them where they are, and then does the discipling and encouraging and challenging. And all that's done for the sake of a forming a mentoring relationship for the sake of Christ that leads that second generation to be disciple makers.
Great. How can the next generation Asian churches continue to grow?
Well, don't want to sound like a commercial here, but in Asian American ministries, we do have four simple objectives. And they really are simple. I know it's I think sometimes we think about things too hard, like how do we do that, okay? But without the gospel, we can't do it. So we've got that A, B, C, and D that you had mentioned in a previous, earlier podcast, but advance the gospel proclamation in the local church. So first you've got to start with the gospel. You got to preach the gospel. And so that's how you do it, by preaching the gospel. And once you preach the gospel, you go to B, which is to build a disciple-making strategy. Decide how you're going to be making disciples that make disciples. How do you reproduce oneself? That's what really disciple making is. How do I reproduce myself? And to me, that means, how do I invite another Christian to share this journey of making disciples? So if I'm intentional in already doing that, and I've been advancing the gospel, I've been sharing the gospel, and people are saying yes, then I invite them in and say, hey, I'm about to go visit someone. Why don't you come along? So that we can model what disciple making looks like. So that they're there as I share. So that they're there when we are visiting families. Especially those that aren't Christians. That's where I want to have someone that I'm walking with, so that I'm reproducing myself. C is connecting that first generation and the second generation, connecting immigrants and their descendants for the Great Commission. And so that's how you connect the first and the second generation. And that, in turn, leads to a leader. So really what you've done is, through that process, develop a leader. A leader that then is going to continue in that process. That's how you grow the church. That's how you make disciples that make disciples. All of these... I think these all are going to lead to growth in the life of a Christian individually, right? The growth of a local church, and ultimately the growth of a kingdom. A mature Christian that is involved in relationships with those that aren't Christians only needs to invite a fellow Christian to come along with the visit. And because I think really when I read all the books, you know, when I hear all the different things, I think we make it a lot harder than it is. Mm-hmm. I think I thought it was harder than when I just started stepping out and someone said, hey, I'm about to do a visit. Would you like to come with me? Mm-hmm. And I was like, they're just coming to visit someone. They're just sharing life. And that provides opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so to me, living missional is a little simpler than what we sometimes make it to be.
You know, that's definitely a takeaway for me. Discipleship is simple.
Yes. Yes, yeah. It is.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, last question. How can the next generation Asian Americans impact world missions and other races in the United States?
Well, you know, we hear saying that the nations are coming to America, but the truth is they're already here, right? They're here in the United States. They're here in North Carolina. They're here in our cities, in the suburbs. They're even here in our small, even in our small towns. I remember driving through a small town and seeing a big banner about an annual celebration of one of our people groups. And I was like, wow, they're in the small towns. And you know, later as I continued to do more research, I realized they live in the small towns because that's where they were in their villages back home. So they're everywhere. I personally have found that I can leverage my Hispanic identity, okay? Because I'm a minority, I can leverage that. I can leverage my Hispanic identity because I'm a minority, because I have been a foreigner, because I'm from a different ethnicity, and I've been able to leverage that to enter into relationships with people who are not Hispanic, because I can relate through different things that they're going through. And so by praying first to God to provide access, and as I study His word that just propels me to go out and do this, God transforms my wants and my desires to be His. I'm not trying to sound preachy here at all, but it just happens. It's a transformation that's real. And then we're living in a time of so much diversity, and some of it is celebrated, some of it it's not. But when I share with a foreigner, with a stranger, with a refugee, an immigrant, that I too was a refugee, that my family was an immigrant family, then all of a sudden, I've broken down a lot of barriers, and there's a lot of commonality. And it often provides a wide open door for me to have the next dialogue just about the challenges in life and enter into a relationship with them. So, you know, I've entered into relationships with Congolese family where I've been, you know, invited to be at the hospital when their baby was born. I meet weekly with an Eritrean woman and her two daughters, and we have gospel conversations. I visit an Afghan family, and I'm giving these examples not because I want someone to say, wow, look what she's doing, because that's really not the point. I'm not really doing anything, he is. But I am, as a Hispanic, using my Hispanic heritage and leveraging that to enter into completely different relationships with people from completely different parts of the world. So it's possible. Just doing life together. I believe that all these people that are here in our area, that are strangers in this foreign land to them, need a family friend. They need a family that understands American culture, and our second generation understands American culture. So you can be there to answer questions and provide directions to them on different things, you know, about school enrollment, how do I get a driver's license. We even talked about, you know, just recently, American culture. Like, why was I calling them before I come? Why don't I just come over? And so that just provides dialogue to do family, to do life with them. So doing a life together with these family provides lots of opportunities to impact the world right here and even in faraway places. These people that are here, that are strangers in our land, are lonely. I've actually had people tell me that. There's a family that I've been visiting really sometimes two or three times a week, and every time I've come in, they have told me, a Christian, they are a Muslim family, what it means to them that I come, because they're lonely, because they have left community behind and all their way of life. And here I am knocking on their door. And so they are just grateful. And I answer questions. And so I believe the way we love our neighbors, or the way we reach our neighbors, is as simple as genuinely loving them. The gospel will have an opportunity. It will be given an opportunity. The Holy Spirit will not let those opportunities go by. And so my intention when I'm doing these things is for them to experience the love and the care of a Christian person, in order for the door to be open to the gospel. I want to build trust, and that takes time. And especially trust when you're in a foreign land, you know. And so I think that our second generation who understands American culture, if they just put some few things into practice and keep their eyes open for opportunities, the nations are curious and they are thirsty. That's what I have come to find out. And they need a friend. And we offer the hope, the only hope, that really will have eternal significance. Now, that means you have to lay down your schedule. That means that, you know, you have to give up your Saturday afternoons. You know, the holy American Saturday afternoons. You don't mess with them. I want to go to the movies. I want to do all these things. I want to run errands. You have to lay those down. And just wait to see where in God wants us to go. If we're faithful with Him to go, then I really believe, and share His word, His love, then I believe He is faithful to show up with the Holy Spirit.
Well, listeners, we're willing to help churches through ABCD. If you have any questions about Asian ministries, please feel free to email me. Mine is sjoo@ncbaptist.org. And Alex, also email Alex. Could you tell us your best contact?
Yes, so it's astowers@ncbaptist.org. I'm going to repeat that because I might have given two S's when they weren't needed. So astowers@ncbaptist.org.
Well, Alex, thank you so much for sharing your passion, vision, your life.
Thank you so much, Sammy. It's been a pleasure.
Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.